The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Mr. Watson. It's elementary. Half the teams in the NFL should be desperately trying to trade for him right now. Then Juju said what? The latest trash talk from this flashy star makes dancing on the logo seem like absolutely nothing. And then the coach of the Bucks pushes all his chips to the center of the table. It's Super Bowl or bust for Tampa Tom and his team as the playoffs begin. And it's a Football Friday with us on Get Up on ESPN. Delighted you are here, and we are ready to go. Take a look at this. Feast your eyes on six wild card games we have to look forward to this weekend and the crew that we have here to talk about them today. Take a look, and we're ready to go. RC is here. Kimberly Martin is here. She's got Steelers-Browns this weekend. Rob Ninkovich is here, and Bart Scott will be along as well. We will be jam-packed talking football with you for the next 2 hours, and we begin with Deshaun Watson, who, according to our Adam Schefter, is bothered by the way his team hired its new general manager. According to league sources, Watson offered his input on potential candidates, but the Texans neither considered nor consulted with those endorsed by their franchise quarterback. Additionally, the Texans did not inform Watson that they intended to hire Nick Caserio, and he found out about the hiring on social media. And all of that led to Watson taking to Twitter on Tuesday night. And as you see, he posted, "Some things never change." Now, last offseason, Houston didn't let Watson know that the star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins would be traded, and that led to a great deal of disappointment. We should also note that, according to sources, Watson's feelings were not directed toward Caserio, but instead toward how the Texans handled this situation. So, for a franchise that has had its share of problems, here's another one, and it's one they clearly did not need, and Bart Scott is ready to go now and getting up with us as well. So, RC, I will start with you. We sort of sit back and look at this. Houston, we have a problem. What do you make of it?
Listen, during the social injustice movements and the protests, Bob McNair, who is now passed on, let us know how this organization would be run, the separation between labor and ownership. We understood that. And so now Kel McNair is just continuing in that traditions, because apples seem to not fall far from trees. You get rid of DeAndre Hopkins this offseason, and now you tell Deshaun Watson that you would include him. He's the one guy on your team that went out and played every week. He's the guy that rode on the bus from Houston to Jacksonville in order to play in the game because of a punctured lung. He's a dude that Dabo Sweeney called MJ. He had MJ-like numbers this year. 88% of the Houston Texans offense was Deshaun Watson. And now you tell this player, your franchise player, the guy that you made the highest paid player per year for the next 5 years, that you're going to include him, and you don't. You don't talk to him. You don't consult him. You don't bring in the one guy that he asked you to interview for the head coach, and that is an issue. Now, it doesn't mean that the Houston Texans are wrong. It means that the Houston Texans aren't changing. The Houston Texans have not learned from their past mistakes. And when somebody, when TJ Watt, right, who's basically the face of your franchise, at least till now, has to apologize to Deshaun Watson for wasting a year of his life, for wasting a year of his career, 2 weeks or a week after he goes on TV and blasts his team for not working hard. He says, but you're the one dude that was out here every week. You're the one dude that's carried us. But the Houston Texans don't consult this man, don't consult the quarterback. And you know what? It's not wrong that they didn't consult him. It's wrong that they lied to him. This is a continuation of a badly run organization, of a dysfunctional front office, and this is just the next chapter.
And he really, at this point, candidly, is the only thing they have going for them. So to alienate him, no matter how you go about doing it, strikes me as an enormous mistake. Bart Scott, what do you think?
I mean, remember Bob McNair famously said that inmates can't run an asylum. And you have to understand, in the modern day athlete, they want inclusion. They want to make sure that they feel appreciated, that their opinion is valued, because he's the guy that has to go out and make everything work. When you decided to trade DeAndre Hopkins, you know, it was him that had to get everybody in that locker room on board to say, hey, we're still trying to win, guys. We still can win. We still can get it done. Bill O'Brien ran that organization into the ground. And now you're bringing in another Patriot disciple. Now, listen, I don't know anything about Nick Caserio. I know they've been trying to get him for a couple of years. But, you know, you have to include your franchise quarterback. You have to include your CEO of your corporation, the guy that's going to make everything okay. He's the gap and he's the bridge between management and labor. And to not include him and not give him an opportunity to at least value his opinion or hear him out, I think is mismanagement at the least. And the fact that you talk about African-American quarterbacks, you know, we don't expect this from maybe Ben Roethlisberger, who was very involved in figuring out, hey, we're going to leave out without Le'Veon Bell. We're going to be without Antonio Brown. You know, but, you know, now he's seen as a young athlete. He's not a young player anymore. He should be included because he's one of the best players his game has.
Nick, what do you think?
Well, look, it's not the first and it won't be the last time a player is lied to. Look, the ownership, they're pretty confident in their abilities that they've been successful their whole lives. They've made business decisions and they own teams and they're billionaires. So, you know, for them, I feel like it's probably some cockiness. It's arrogance on the part of, hey, look, I don't need a player to tell me who I should hire and who I shouldn't hire. So at the end of the day, when you don't have those decisions being made by any of the players, no input, really, they don't care about your input anyway, because we're just running these numbers. They know that in 5-10 years, there's going to be a new quarterback there. Ownership will still be the ownership. It'll still be the family. They'll still make hundreds of millions of dollars. So, I mean, it's got to be frustrating, especially if you were told that you would have some input. And, you know, the one thing I would say is if you're Nick Caserio, Billy O got tons of heat for trading away Hopkins. Imagine if you're the new GM and you trade away the best player on your team. That's not going to help your case to winning over the fans. No, not going to help you.
We will figure out as this program goes on where it is that would make the most sense for Deshaun Watson to go. I may have a little lobbying to do. We will get to that. Meanwhile, let's get to the playoffs this weekend, where the big question in Cleveland is whether the Browns will be able to reopen their facility today as they prepare for Sunday's playoff game against the Steelers. But quarterback Baker Mayfield says one way or the other, he's not worried about their compromised week of practice.
If you guys, you know, wind up not having a practice this week, what impact is that going to have on you Sunday night?
It won't have an impact.
All right, our Kimberly Martin is covering that game, actually covered Steelers-Browns a week ago, and here you are back with them again. What is the latest as far as the Browns' ability to get any work done?
This is worst-case scenario, Greeny, for a team that was just trying to make the playoffs for the first time since 2002 and now trying to get its first playoff win since 94. We already talked about Kevin Stefanski not being able to coach on Sunday because he has COVID. They added another player yesterday, safety Ronnie Harrison. Now is added to a list that includes Joel Bitonio, their longest tenured Brown. You know, this team hasn't been able to practice all week. And you heard Baker Mayfield said it won't make a difference. But virtual walkthroughs can only get you so far. And game day, playoff time, you know, is a big deal. But this Browns team is using it as motivation. Jarvis Landry said yesterday, look, we are going to try to win for the guys who are not here. Bitonio, this is for you. So they've got motivation. But will they be able to beat the Steelers is another question.
No, it is. I agree with you. It's the worst case scenario. And the question is not whether it's fair or not. We've been saying it all year long. Right. Fairness is not the first priority in getting things done this season only. And this would be the only time we'd say it's okay. Now, with regard to this game, Juju Smith-Schuster, who has been known to add a little fuel to the fire in a lot of other circumstances, may have done so with these comments about the Browns. Listen.
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team up every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Like, it's the Browns. It's the Browns. And that's just, like, one of the things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
I turn to my former Steeler friend, Mr. Clark. What do we make of that?
Ryan.
Listen, Greeny, you inherit this. Like, this is what we inherit. When you walk into the building on the south side, these are two things you know. You walk into the building and you go, hey, man, the Ravens are really good and the Ravens are really tough. And then you walk into the building and you also inherit the Cleveland Browns suck. That's just how it works. Nobody tells you that. It's not something you have to be taught. But when you walk into the Southside practice facility, these are things you know. Now, is this an example of when keeping it real goes public? Absolutely. He probably shouldn't have said it. He also used one of the greatest Tomlinisms, nameless gray faces, in the wrong way, because we're actually talking about the faces. Now, every team is a nameless gray face. He also said they had like a couple of good players. It's for sure disrespectful. He might as well go do Corvette on their logo this week and then drive back to Pittsburgh and play. But when you play against the Cleveland Browns and you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you expect to win, especially if you're a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's only been in this league three years and has only known bad Cleveland Browns team. But this is a different Cleveland Browns team. But Baker Mayfield is delusional if he thinks not practicing, not having your head coach, and not having certain people there isn't going to hurt them. I also have motivation to go run, Greeny, because I can't wear suit bottoms. But that doesn't mean I've lost these 20 pounds that I've gained during quarantine.
Well, that's because snacks over everything was your downfall. But that's a whole different conversation. So, Ninkovich, let me come to you on that thought, because the talk is good and it's fun. It's good for people like us. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's what they have to do. Kimberly just said it. Worst case scenario. Can they still win this game without practicing hardly at all this week, missing all the people they're missing, including their head coach, who was their play caller? Rob Ninkovich, can the Browns still win Sunday night?
No, and I'm going to explain this pretty simple. Purdue University, I was taking.
That was simple.
Purdue University.
That was simple.
Quick and to the point. Purdue University, I was taking trigonometry. I had the first test of the semester. Guess what? I didn't study for it. I was confident and cocky. I walked into the building. I sat down at the desk. I looked at the test, and I knew I was failing. I knew. Like, I looked at the test, and I said, man, I didn't prepare for this test. I'm not prepared for this test. And guess what? There was only 10 questions. I got 2 correct. So 2 out of 10, do the math. Failure. That was a failed test. So
that's
what did I learn from that? I learned preparation is key.
That's a 20.
That's a 20. That's a 20%. So preparation is key. I had to drop the class. And it looks like the Browns have probably dropped this game, too.
Well, because the point you were making, let me just, because Nick, I think there is an important point to be made here. You were telling us this morning that this is a game that Baker Mayfield has never played in before. Whether he knows it or not, he's going to find out Sunday mm-hmm. that this is different than anything he's been before.
Yes, I was trying to say at the end of the day, when you hit the playoffs, and RC knows this, the warm-ups are more intense. Your pregame rituals, you're trying to get everything right because you don't want to mess this up. You go preseason games to regular seasons, that's a jump. Regular seasons to playoffs, that's a bigger jump. It's a one-game season. Mm-hmm. With the Steelers having a week of preparation, they're ready to go. You can tell they're ready to go. They rested their guys week 17, and the Browns haven't had a chance to practice on a football field. I don't care how much virtual practice you do. There's nothing that compares to being on the field and running your routes, throwing passes, because Baker needs to throw the ball in this game, and completing those passes. So it's going to be really tough for him, especially without their play caller.
Yeah, and so, Kimberly, let me come back to you on what happens now. What are they waiting to hear today? What are the chances they get to practice? What is next in this?
All week, it's been wait and see for the Browns if their facility will open, and today's the same thing. You know, all week it's been closed. The hope is that they could get in today. Last week was the same situation, them having to wait and only practicing 2 days. This week, so far, no days. So that's not ideal if you're the Browns.
All right, we will wait and see what happens. And I get why they're saying that's not going to impact the game. What are they going to say? Oh, this means we can't win. It's a shame for us. I understand why you would say that, but sometimes the reality can smack you in the face. So that's one game this weekend. Here comes another, the number 5 seed, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, playing on the road against the number 4 Washington football team on Saturday night. And this weekend, it'll be a first for Tom Brady in his 21 NFL seasons. He has never gone to the postseason as a wild card, as part of a wild card team. He's played wild card weekend, but he's never been on a wild card. Meanwhile, you should know this. Teams to beat Brady in the playoffs have averaged 27 points a game. Washington has only scored 27 points 3 times this season. And no quarterback had a higher QBR drop-off between no pressure and pressure than Brady. His QBR is 84 when there's no pressure. It's 6 when there is. And so he's going up against a Washington team that can put some heat on the quarterback. Yesterday, Tampa coach Bruce Arians was asked if this has already been a successful season for his team. Listen to this answer.
We'll see. You know, see how far this goes. It won't be if we don't win this one. That's for sure. And
And really, it's not going to be if we don't put rings on our fingers, because once you're in the tournament, that's what you're playing for. And so we did enough to get here, and now it will not be satisfying unless we finish it.
It don't mean a thing if you don't get the ring, Bart Scott. That's what Bruce Arians says. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I think that's true, but I think it's going to be tough sledding for them to go into Green Bay after this week and beat Aaron Rodgers. I think no quarterback is playing better. No team is playing better. But I think that this should be a game that they should get. But this is a game that's intriguing to me simply because whenever we've seen Tom Brady struggle, it's been at night, recently, past his bedtime, past his nap time. But it's also been whenever you have an ability to get four pass rushers to be able to harass him. You know, you think about the NASCAR package from both of those Giants teams. You know, they have Ryan Kerrigan coming off fifth. You know, you got Montez Sweat on the outside. And one thing this team doesn't do enough of that they're going to have to rediscover in the playoffs is running the football, being able to salt the game away. Because when you throw the ball, as many times as they throw the ball, you always give the opponent an opportunity to get back in the game because it's always time left on the clock. Incompletions stop the clock. You know, they're going to have to run the ball. They're 28th in the league and running the ball. And that's a shame when you have a running back as good as Leonard Fournette, you have Ronald Jones, and you have Shady McCoy. They're going to have to mix it up. And if they don't mix it up, it's going to be a short campaign this year, and it's going to be a disappointing season, and they won't get a chance to get that ring, and he's going to have to burn the Kangos.
All right, well, so as far as this weekend is concerned, Rob Ninkovich, that's your guy, Tom Brady. Is this a defense, this young defense led by Chase Young and all those guys on that line, can they wreck this game? Is this a defense that can do to Brady what that NASCAR package Giants defense did to him once upon a time?
I don't think so, because those teams that affected him the most have great interior inside push. And when I say inside push, I mean their ability to get pressure inside the pocket. Tom Brady was going to step up. If you have guys coming off the edge, he is the best at feeling pressure, stepping up into the pocket and avoiding pressure. So I don't know if Washington can get pressure on the inside. If they blitz up the middle, maybe a little bit. But on the edges, they love to pin their ears back and just get up the field. That is kind of Tom's forte. He's going to get back in his drop. He's going to feel the pressure. He's going to step up. So they're going to have some type of inside pressure to affect him the most.
All right, so that's something to watch for the game. And then, Ryan, let me finish this with you. Your buddy Dominique Foxworth said yesterday he doesn't see any way Washington wins this game because of the other point that we made here. You have to score points to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, and he's not convinced they can. Can Washington put up 27, which is what it looks like they need to win this game?
Hell no, Greeny. Ain't no way. Not going to happen. No, the only way to do that, right, if their best player, or it seems like the guy who's best with the football in his hands, Chase Young, actually gets his hand on the football again, if they could create pressure on Tom Brady and force turnovers. But listen, Alex Smith has without a doubt been the greatest story of this season. He's the comeback player of the year. He's 5-1 as the starting quarterback, but he's already hobbled, so much so that Taylor Heineke getting some snaps this game has been a topic of conversation for the Washington football team. And so you go into a game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have a young secondary, who have rushers on the outside, two of the best linebackers in the league as far as a duo is concerned, in White and David, and you're expecting to score 27 points on this team? It's not going to happen. It's going to have to be a stellar outing by this Washington football defense in order for this game to even be close. And if you're expecting the Washington football team to go out and put up big points against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you are sorely misguided. I think this game is a wash. I believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run away with it, not just because they can score points, but because they'll be able to dominate the Washington football team when they're on offense.
And so that's the point. If they put up, if that offense looks really good, Bart, will that convince you? I got 30 seconds. Will that convince you they could go? The matchups could send them to Green Bay next weekend. It's not definite. But if they put up 35 points against this defense, would that convince you they can beat the Packers?
No, not at all. Not until I see them rush for over 100 yards and show me some balance. Show me a game plan that's designed to be able to beat Green Bay. Green Bay Achilles heel is being able to stop the run. And to do that, you have to loosen them up by saying, hey, you got to keep these safeties out of this box. If I don't have to respect the run game, then I'm going to sit back and those windows that's going to be open from play action won't be there in the playoffs. And tip balls change games, Greeny.
All right, so we got a lot to watch for in that game on Saturday night. Meanwhile, we had a game of the night last night, but featuring two NBA stars who went back and forth, and they were Luka Doncic and the Mavs and Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. Pick it up in the fourth quarter, 3 minutes to go. Nuggets are down a deuce, and they're working it to the big fella, and it's Jokic from the top of the circle, and Jokic, he's not yoking around. Straight away three. He scored 38. Nuggets have a one-point lead. Now there's 8 seconds left. The Mavs are down one. Where are you going with the ball, Luka? Luka driving, dishing. Maxi Kleber, he knocks down the three. Luka loves it. Mavs take a one-point lead. Ensuing Denver possession. They need a bucket. Where are they going? It's Jokic again. Oh, he's so good. Game would go to overtime. In the OT, Mavs are up a deuce. And here comes Doncic again. Just feeling out the defense. He just feels out the D, and he finds the right man. Ultimately, Josh Richardson. Ice water. Mavericks are up five. Now under 40 seconds to go. The Mavericks lead is three. It's Doncic again. Penetrating, finding a little space, knocking it down. He scored 38. Again, the Joker also had 38, but it's Dallas that wins a thriller, 124-117. Coming up here, back to football. How much is on the line for Lamar Sunday in Tennessee? We'll tell you why it is much more than a win or a loss. Plus, the rising quarterback in the NFL draft who reminds many of our analysts of Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and it's not the name you expect. Plus, today, my poll question, which is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, is about the hiring of head coaches. Which of these college coaches would you most want coaching your NFL team? Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Lincoln Riley. Cast your vote at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. We'll be right back. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Get Up is brought to you by Geico. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. And as we embark upon Wild Card Weekend, we think back to some of the great Wild Card moments of all time, including the legendary Beast Quake. Go get it, Marshawn. Marshawn Lynch, 67-yard touchdown run, clinching a playoff win over the Saints. This was January 8th, 2011. Seismic activity was actually recorded outside the Seahawks' home stadium from the fans who shook the building. As we continue, Lamar Jackson's playoff performances to date have been nothing to write home about. The question is, does he change that narrative this week? The answer is next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and we are looking ahead to Super Wild Card Weekend. For the first time ever, 6 playoff games in the same weekend. You see the schedule there. It begins with the early game tomorrow in Buffalo and works its way all the way through to primetime Sunday night with the Browns and the Steelers. And right in the middle there, you see our game, an incredibly interesting wild card matchup between the Ravens and the Titans. That's the Sunday early game on ESPN and ABC. It's a rematch from last year's postseason, and they played this year. And of course, the biggest storyline heading into this game, can Lamar Jackson avoid starting his career with a playoff record of 0-3? Now, these are the numbers. Since tracking began in 2006, Lamar Jackson's total QBR in the playoffs is tied with Andy Dalton for the lowest in the league by any quarterback with at least two playoff starts. And when you consider all the success he's had in the regular season, I think that the narrative here feels to many people as though there's enormous pressure on Lamar Jackson this Sunday. Ryan Clark, do you think there is?
You know what? I think there's enormous pressure, but let me say this. Early on in the season, I talked about liking Kyler Murray a little more than Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden I became this Lamar Jackson hater. But I love Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is a great player, and I thought he'd said something that was very important this week. He talked about not winning playoff games and talked about some of the great players. I didn't mention them or say great players haven't won playoff games as well. Here is how I heard that. I was the fifth quarterback drafted in my class. I was the last pick of the first round. Baker Mayfield has never won a playoff game, hadn't been to one until this week. Sam Darnold's never been to one. Josh Allen's never won a playoff game, and Josh Rosen was on the practice squad. None of those guys have reached the heights that I have individually, which is winning a regular season MVP. Yet, I'm the only one that is judged by playoff wins. That's a tribute to his greatness. That's a tribute to his uniqueness. That's a tribute to his success. That out of all of those guys, the only guy that we make sure that every playoff game is a referendum on who he is as a quarterback is Lamar Jackson. What that tells us is the way that he's played, the way that he's carried himself, the things that he has done are absolutely phenomenal. And does Lamar Jackson need to win this playoff game? Absolutely. But does that mean that he is not a great quarterback and one of the future stars of this league that will carry the shield? Absolutely not. Lamar Jackson needs to win just because the Ravens could get an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, but not because he has improved anything.
I happen to totally agree with you, and I was going to make my Peyton Manning comparison, but now I see the look on Bart Scott's face, and I need to hear what Bart has in mind. Go, Bart.
I mean, I couldn't disagree with you more, Ryan Clark. You know, I love you like a play cousin. But I tell you what, when you talk about Lamar Jackson and why he's held to a higher standard, he's held to a higher standard because guess what? He was the last of those quarterbacks picked. Why was he one of the last of those quarterbacks picked? When that happens, that means you go to a better football team. You go to a football team that was ready to win right now. This is a team that has weapons all around him. This is a team that has one of the best defensive personnel in the division. This is an organization that is accustomed to a rookie quarterback carrying their team deep into the playoffs. When you think about Joe Flacco, you think about what Ben Roethlisberger was able to do. He inherited that type of team. He's come up small in the big moments, not big in the small moments. You know what I mean? So he has to show that he can be a leader and that he can be a PT player, a primetime player. That's what he's failed to do. And this is huge for him to be able to get paid. He's trying to get paid like Mahomes. He has the same resume as Mahomes. He just doesn't have the playoff wins. And this is a team that goes back against the Tennessee Titans that came in their house and stumped on their chest. Last year, he was the best, had one of the best records in the conference. He put up 12 points. I was there. I saw a tear come out of Ozzie Newsome's eye. You know what I mean? This team disrespected them, stepped on the logo. This rivalry goes back. Because remember, Ryan, this team, this Tennessee Titans team, was in the old division with us. That was the real black and blue division, right? And they've been disrespectful. And if you can't put them in check and let them complete the cycle on you by beating you, look at this right here, man. This is when Ray Lewis took Eddie George's soul. This is a history. This is a hatred. This is a rivalry. But we just call him 500 Fisher. We hated Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher hated Brian Billick. Now you think about the rivalry between Harbaugh. You think about Vrabel. These are two teams that are built tough. This is like a team in the South that's built like we're built. And you have to smack them in the face, man. And Lamar Jackson has to do his part. If not, then you can't give him that extension. You have to hold off on extension and say, hey, until you prove that you can win a big game, we can't put that cheese on your taco, baby.
I loved every word of that. Go ahead, RC.
Bart, you act like they picked him 32nd because that was their first pick. And y'all had just won the Super Bowl. You know y'all ain't won the Super Bowl in forever. Don't act like it was the 32nd.
Hold on. It was 2012.
It was 2012. It was 2012. The best team in football, Bart. Bart, Joe Flacco had that team dookie. That team was terrible. Until Joe Flacco gets hurt and you insert Lamar, they were nothing. Don't act like he took over the New England Patriots like Tom Brady did in his first outing. That wasn't the team he was playing for. This team is good because of Lamar Jackson. This team got to the point that they got to because of Lamar Jackson. Ozzie Newsome had a tear in his eye because he understood the trade he made with the Philadelphia Eagles to get the 32nd pick again was the one that he needed to get to that position he was in because Joe Flacco couldn't get him there. It didn't matter who was on the team. And so now you're – what in the Benedict Arnold did you drink this morning? Who are you? Who are you, Bart? You need to know who you are. Understand your place. This man is being compared to all of these quarterbacks drafted in 18 with him. None of them have a playoff game, a playoff win. We don't talk about it. Sam Darnold ain't been there. We don't talk about it. This is Baker Mayfield's first time. We don't talk about it. Josh Rosen was on the practice squad.
He was the number one overall pick. That's the point. What happened.
All of these people. You lucky Allie saying let Kimberly get in, and I love Kimberly. Boy,
let me get Kimberly in.
I wish we could put the pads on right
Kimberly,
now.
Kimberly, I'll tell you what this sounds
let's
like.
Let's do
to
it.
Me.
Bang, bang. Oklahoma.
This sounds like the pregame pep talk that Bart Scott would be giving Lamar Jackson if he was in the locker room before the game Sunday, which he might be, for all we know.
Kimberly, he better be
that's
big
what it
trust.
Sounds like to me.
Listen. This is
trust.
Playoff TV right here. This is playoff TV, right? We're ready. We're ready. All right, what do you want from me, Greeny?
Kimberly, how do you see the pressure on Lamar Jackson this weekend?
Boy, you got me rocking, man.
Lamar Jackson is somebody who has been criticized from day one. I was at the combine in front of the lectern when he was talking about all the doubters. And he said, I don't care what people think. That's not true. He does. And he does try to shut people up with his play. But so far, he has been great in the regular season. But I was at that Titans playoff game last year. I saw a Ravens team that did not look like the Ravens who were running over everybody all season long. So while even if Lamar loses this weekend, we will go into 2021 saying, well, the Ravens are still good. They're still one of the top AFC teams. Lamar Jackson is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But the narrative of him not being able to win on the big stage will still be there. And this is how he erases this narrative. He's still a great player, and he's a victim of being so good because, as Ryan said, all those other QBs that were drafted ahead of him, you haven't really seen them get as far as Lamar, right? But Lamar right. has to take it to another level because of how
lost
good
to
he
the
is
Chargers.
We expect.
Ryan, open your eyeballs. You hear me talking to you.
I don't hear you, bro. I'm okay. Frozen. You know, my
he lost to the Chargers.
I would prefer not to, but I have to. Let's leave this here for the moment. We will come back to this, I promise, as we work our way towards Wild Card Weekend. In the meantime, there's something else we're working our way toward, and that is the capper of the weekend, if you will. Monday night is the championship game, and we will see Justin Fields and Ohio State getting ready to try and take on Alabama after that huge win over Clemson. And Fields threw for 385 and 6 touchdowns and absorbed that enormous hit and stayed in the game. Many people believing that his draft stock would skyrocket after that performance. But at least if you looked at Todd McShay's first mock draft, which he revealed yesterday here for the first time, it didn't seem to do that. You see, he projects him 15 overall to the Patriots and has him as the third quarterback overall off the board, now behind not only Trevor Lawrence, but Zach Wilson of BYU as well. And I think this is fascinating. So let me bring David Pollack into the conversation on this, and we'll have David with us for much of the show. So it's good to see you, my friend, as we get ready for Monday night's game. What do you think of that, of Fields possibly being a guy who falls into the middle of the first round and isn't even the second quarterback taken?
The middle of this first round, I think, doesn't bother you as much because you look at quarterback teams and that might be the third quarterback taken. I think the biggest debate when people are going to go back and forth is with him and Zach Wilson of who's the second and third quarterback. I get it. I understand it. Justin Fields, by the way, just freaky ability. We've seen that, right? 6'3", 235 pounds, can do some of the same things, by the way, that Cam Newton did for the Patriots this last year. So if he did go to the Patriots, I think it'd be a great fit. He's still developing. He's still learning. Remember, he started for 1 year a season ago at Ohio State. It was so tremendous that we look back and we're like, dang, he feel like he's been in college for 10 years. But I think Justin Fields will have some development at the next level, just like a lot of guys. I think Trevor Lawrence will have development too, but it will come in a little bit ahead of that. But The Zach Wilson thing doesn't surprise me because I've also seen a lot of Zach Wilson, and I think he's pretty special.
Well, that's the thing, is that you have and most people have not. He plays at BYU, not at Ohio State. So without any disrespect intended, Ohio State's on national TV every week and they're in the playoff every year. Tell everyone, who is Zach Wilson? Who is he in the NFL?
He scares the crap out of me because my comparisons that keep coming to mind, Green, when I watch him are too good. I mean, I keep looking at him and he's got such a smooth, natural ability, man. He just floats off his back foot and flips it like Aaron Rodgers. He just runs to his left and throws it 60 yards down the field like Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, last year I did not get into the Jordan Love comparison with Patrick Mahomes. This guy reminds me of them. His deep ball accuracy is second to none, and he puts it and he drops it in the bucket. He didn't play in a great system in high school or in college with BYU. And when I say he didn't play in a great system, he didn't play with a bunch of skill all around him that enabled him to put up video game numbers all the time and really make bigger plays than I think he could have. But Greeny, it scares the crap out of me because every name that comes to mind when I start watching him is greatness at the NFL level because of that smooth, natural, just, you know, quick twitch ability to throw the football.
Look, if the comparisons you're making are Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers in any conceivable way, then obviously all of us are intrigued. David, stay close. We'll keep you with us for the rest of the show. Tons more football to get to. Back to the NFL next. Tom Brady has been a superhero during his career. But Saturday night, one of our analysts says he'll need to be a Ghostbuster. You'll find out why next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It is a super wild card weekend, triple headers both days, and our game features Lamar Jackson looking for his first playoff win, leading the Ravens against 2,000-yard rushing leader Derrick Henry and the Titans. That's Sunday, 1 Eastern. You'll see it on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the Megacast will be presented on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and Freeform, so you can experience football like never before with us Sunday all across the family of networks. Meanwhile, it is time for a feature that we call Dagummit. Candidly, that's not how I would have thought that would be spelled. I've never had occasion to spell that word. In fact, I've never used that word. But the last time David Pollack was on with us, he used it so many times that we turned it into a feature. So we will get 3 Dagum takes from David Pollack here, and I'm told the first one is about Lamar Jackson.
It is. Greeny, in the South, we try not to curse and we try not to swear, so you try to use whatever words you can use instead. And dadgum's one of those, especially I got to use on television. But I tell you what, I thought Ryan Clark and Bart Scott were going to get in a dadgum fight, man. They were so passionate talking about Lamar Jackson. And you watch Lamar Jackson, I think it's a huge week. Last year, coming into the playoffs, everybody was talking about the MVP. He set the world on fire. And then he went and laid an egg with the Titans. This year again, 5-game winning streak. The Ravens look like they got it going. J.K. Dobbins looks like a better back. It looks like they've got the ground game and the throw game working, everything working. So a lot of pressure on that man, dadgum Lamar Jackson. And he's got to perform, and he's got to run it, and he's got to take care of the ball, and he's got to throw it. Like, he wants to get paid, which is coming up, by the way. He's going to have to perform at a good level this week for his team to win because the Titans last year is the team that bullied them. You better take care of business this year.
Okay, I like it. The next one is about the matchup, the first matchup of the weekend, which would be Phillip Rivers against Josh Allen. How do you see it?
Old man Phillip Rivers, man, versus Josh Allen. I tell you what, you look at Phillip Rivers, he's been doing this for forever. I'm excited to see it because this team with Phillip Rivers, man, they got some daggum dudes. You watch DeForest Buckner in the trenches, he'll put your hands on you. He is grown. Josh Allen getting a lot of hype, by the way, with the way he's played and putting in the MVP conversation. He's been great. I think the Colts can give them a really, really good football game this weekend. I'm excited to see the QB matchup because Phillip Rivers, again, been around for forever. And Josh Allen, he's trying to get where Phillip Rivers is at. So excited to see that matchup.
Okay, I like it. And then the third one involves the primetime game tomorrow night. Chase Young, who has been spectacular against Tom Brady. What'd you think of Chase Young's, I'm not going to call it trash talk, but what Chase Young said about wanting the GOAT?
Bro, I loved it, Greeny. I love what he said. First of all, just remember, when Tom Brady was playing college football, Chase Young wasn't alive. So it's been a daggum minute, all right? This is a young buck. He grew up watching Tom Brady succeed. Here's one thing I'm going to say, and this is going to tick a lot of people off, but I don't really care. Tom Brady has a tendency to see ghosts. If you get after him a little bit, he is going to get rid of that football. You saw it against the Saints. We all watched it on national television. You'll see moments. If you can get pressure on him, that gummit, he's got people popping out of the air, and he sees them, and he'll throw the football away to the other team. So I love this for Chase Young. I think Washington can put pressure on him. I think Washington can make him see ghosts. That gummit, I think it's going to be a good game.
Again, this is spoken like a true former defensive lineman, but it feels like in order for the Washington to win this game, they're going to have to wreck it. Do you think Chase Young and those guys can wreck this game the way we once saw the Giants do to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl?
Yes, I think they can make it ugly and they can muck it up and they can get to Tom and force things to happen. But the problem is, Greeny, they got to play offense and they suck. So if the offense didn't have to go on the field, if they had any kind of pulse on the other side of the football, you'd say, man, they have a good chance. But I'm curious to watch the offense and watch Tom Brady under pressure because that'll tell me a lot about how this functions. Everybody wants to, as soon as Tom Brady messes up, I turn on Get Up, and what do I see? I see everybody making excuses for Tom Brady and blaming Bruce Arians. So I want to see what Tom Brady does when he gets pressured because it's on him. It's not on Bruce Arians.
That is a dadgum good point. Okay, well done. David Pollack, stay with me here. I have more from you in just a moment because it's time for the poll question. My poll question is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, and it is a hiring-related question. Of these coaches who were traditionally known for college, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Lincoln Riley, which one would you most want coaching your NFL team? And as we bring the crew in to react to that and to answer that question, I can mention that Adam Schefter is reporting that Urban Meyer is meeting with the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Urban Meyer meeting with Jacksonville today. Again, they have a ton of cap space and the number one pick in the draft, which figures to be Trevor Lawrence. So it's an interesting coaching vacancy. That said, Ryan Clark, I'll go to you first. What's the answer to the question? Of those four, which one would you first hire to coach your NFL team?
I feel like this is going to be unpopular, but I'm going to say Jim Harbaugh because of those traditional college coaches or traditionally known for college coaches, only one of them has actually done it. And he did it at an extremely high level. He's a coach that made the decision to go away from Alex Smith, who was the first overall pick for a franchise, and go to Colin Kaepernick. And that team made it to a Super Bowl. That team also made it to an NFC championship. And though it seems that Jim Harbaugh wears on people, I think that he understands adult men. He understands how to get them to play well, and he can pull the right pieces and make the right moves in order to get a team to succeed or to excel. And so for me, it'll be Jim Harbaugh.
That might be unpopular, but I like the take. Rob Ninkovich, how about you? Which one would you hire?
I'm going with Meyer, and I say that because Brandon Spikes, look, I played with Brandon Spikes a long time, and he would tell me some stories about how he would motivate his team. And I feel like his players really, really enjoy him as a coach, and he can get a team motivated. And yeah, I get it. Someone's going to say, well, that's college, but in the league, you step up to the next level. There's a bunch of different age groups. I understand that, backgrounds. But I feel like he's refreshed, he's recharged, he's ready to go. He wouldn't be meeting with teams if he didn't want to give it another shot. So I just think that at the pro level, he'd be able to come in and get a team to rally around him, kind of like how Rex Ryan had his team playing hard for him I think Urban can do that. He can get the team ready to go, and guys are flying around for him.
Urban is 58, by the way, in case you're wondering. David Pollack, you cover all these guys every week. Which one of them would you hire to coach your NFL team?
It's funny that we all disagree. I wouldn't do Urban Meyer. I just think he leads too much with a dictatorship. I don't think NFL guys would love that. And his offensive system is, running the QB. And I don't think it's good enough for the NFL. It'd be interesting. But I think it's Ryan Day. By the way, Ryan Day spent a lot of time in the NFL. He was there with Chip Kelly. But his offensive philosophy, dude, he's a no-nonsense guy. But also treats everybody with a great demeanor and great respect and trusts everybody. So I think his offensive pedigree, the way he calls plays, the way he understands offense, and the way he treats people, I think would translate really well to the next level.
I totally agree. He opted not to take any interviews this year, and who knows if he ever will make that decision. I think some NFL team would be really smart to drive a truck filled with money to Columbus, Ohio, and try and hire him. Let's see what you think as we go to the results on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. And, it's close. Lincoln Riley getting a lot of support. The only one who didn't get a vote here. You see Urban leading the way with 32% of the vote. I'll leave that up through the radio show today, so through noon Eastern time. You can log on at ESPN Greeny on Twitter and cast your vote. Meanwhile, not only the football, we got basketball tonight. Friday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. You got LaMelo and the Hornets taking on Zion and the Pelicans. That's 7:30 Eastern. First ever meeting between the Ball brothers. And then it's the second matchup in 3 days between Kawhi and the Clippers and Steph and the Warriors. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown tonight at 7 Eastern. What a weekend of sports. As we continue, Houston's big problem. Why is Deshaun unhappy with the Texans? What does he want? And will he get his wish to get out? We'll answer all those questions next. Get up on ESPN.
3 days to the College Football Playoff National Championship game on ESPN.